Hello and welcome to the latest, greatest edition of Seattle Nice with Erica C. Barnett of Publicola. Hi, Erica.
Hello.
And political consultant Sandeep Kaushik. Hi, Sandeep.
Hello, David.
I'm your referee today, David Hyde, and I just wanted to warn you guys both in advance that I'm going to be issuing red cards today, which is something from soccer, just to keep the podcast running smoothly if necessary. So don't make me do it.
Are we just bypassing the yellow card? I thought we got yellow cards first.
Straight to red.
Straight to red. Okay.
Today's topic basically is, what the hell is Seattle thinking? Or at least that's what this new Chamber of Commerce commissioned poll claims to be about. That's what we're going to be talking about, is some new polling for the city. We'll also be getting into a bit about the new transportation levy towards the end. So stay tuned for that. I'm just going to point out a few things that I noticed in this poll. I guess some good news, arguably, for the city, that most people think the quality of life is improving. Maybe even some good news for the city council, a 10 percentage point jump in the numbers of people who strongly agree with this statement, that I trust the city council to reform the police without endangering public safety. So a 10 percentage point jump there from last fall. Also, an increase in the number of people who totally agree with the statement that the city has an effective plan to address homelessness, affordability, and public safety. But that increase, Sandeep Kaushik, is from 15% in September 2023 to 17% today. So my biggest takeaway from this poll is that 83% of residents basically still do not think the city has its shit together when it comes to the biggest issues. How about you?
The biggest takeaway from this poll that we are seeing, in my opinion, is that we continue to see growing public support for increased density in the city of Seattle. I just tweeted about this when I was looking at the poll earlier today. The chamber's been doing these index polls every 6 months for about the last 2.5 years. And so you can see the pattern evolving over time on a variety of these issues where they ask the same question in every 6 months in every poll. And one thing we are continuing to see in this poll is greater public support for increased density in their own neighborhoods. And they ask people whether they agree or disagree with this statement. All things considered, growth and development has been a positive for my area. 2 years ago, 49% of Seattleites agreed with that number. Now it's up to 58%. And so there's been a steady and really quite rapid increase in Seattle voters saying they think that growth has been a net benefit for the city. That's a real shift.
Erica, what do you think?
That's interesting that that's the biggest takeaway, Sandeep. I mean, I completely agree. You know, this poll has been showing a steady increase in support for density at a time when, you know, I would add, I mean, the mayor of Seattle just put out his proposed comprehensive plan last month. And it really is very timid on density. And in fact, it proposes quite a bit less density than even, you know, most of the current city council members said they wanted. And so it's quite a contrast, I think, between people saying, you know, not only do I want more housing in my neighborhood, I also want more commercial activity in my neighborhood. People, you know, I think particularly during the pandemic, got used to using amenities kind of nearer their homes and perhaps sort of looked around and said, hey, you know, I don't have a corner store anywhere near me. I would really like that. I, you know, would like to be able to go to the drugstore without getting in my car. And I think there was just a real realization that having that stuff in your neighborhood is really nice. And so that is also reflected in this poll, which I think is really promising, but it's also kind of an illustration of how out of step the mayor's office seems to be right now with how much people really do want, you know, more neighbors, more commercial activity, more to do in their own neighborhoods and not just, you know, downtown Seattle, which is what the city is sort of monomaniacally focused on right now.
Yeah, just to build on that, I mean, the two other questions in this section of the poll, they ask, this is a new question that they haven't asked in the past, but we should allow the construction of more retail and commercial space in my neighborhood. To your point, Erica, it's 3-2 in favor of that. And then they used to have a question saying, I support the building of new housing in my neighborhood. They actually modified that question a little bit here and asked it as, I support the building of a wider variety of housing in my neighborhood, but essentially got the same result as they did 6 months ago, which is, you know, a pretty overwhelming, more than 2-1 support for that, for support for building, in this case, a wider variety of housing or more housing. They seem to get similar results in these polls. So that's a really remarkable, remarkably high number, and that is a big shift from where it was even a few years ago. And the reason I highlighted that as I think my biggest takeaway from the poll is because I thought the rest of the poll, the results were fairly status quo, right? I mean, I do think this poll shows that we're continuing to see a lot of public concern about. The top issues are still homelessness and public safety, though where there is a change is concerns around affordability have really jumped up, and that is now clearly, you know, kind of up there with public safety and homelessness as a top tier issue. But by and large, voters in this poll are saying they are really concerned about encampments and want to see them cleaned up. You know, they are continue to be concerned about questions related to public safety. They're very strongly in support of adding more cops at SPD. Those things are kind of all status quo, I think, from what we've seen in the last couple of election cycles.
Yeah, I guess that point kind of gets to my issue with sort of polling in general. I mean, I think you can look at a lot of very detailed questions in this poll, but basically, you know, polls are at best a sense of, you know, what people are concerned about for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, because they hear about it all the time on the nightly news or, you know, or on Reddit and reading about it. You know, people have varying concerns over time that do not always conform precisely with what the city's spending priorities are or should be. You know, at the same time, I mean, I think that, you know, you can look at this poll very broadly as kind of a good feeling, bad feeling poll about the city and where it's going. And I think that as the chamber said during their press conference about this earlier this week, there is cause for optimism. Looking at a poll like this, I mean, I tend to be pretty skeptical of polling in general, just because I think people are influenced by a lot of different factors and how they feel about the city or what issues they are most concerned with. And I don't think that we should necessarily base policy on polling because, you know, polling changes over time. And generally, you know, within the course of a couple of years, people will start to care most deeply about something else. For example, one thing that comes up in this poll is that people are concerned about affordability, which I do think is quite interesting. The increase in concerns about affordability reflected in this poll, you know, reflect the fact that housing prices are getting much higher. You know, I don't know to what extent they polled renters, but rents are getting higher. But, you know, I mean, this is kind of a good feelings, bad feelings type of poll. And in general, you know, people are pretty grumpy, but people are always pretty grumpy in polls. Do they like the city council better? I mean, yeah, they like him a little better because the majority of the city elected this council. So that's kind of, I don't know, a bit of a tautological conclusion for a poll. So I think there are some interesting things when you get into some of the more detailed questions. But in general, yeah, people are slightly less grumpy about the city and they're slightly more worried about their own ability to afford to live here in the future. I mean, there's a question in here that's about, you know, have you thought about moving out of Seattle? Have you actively thought about it? And that number is always super high. And I think one should take it with a huge grain of salt since people don't actually move out of Seattle in the numbers that this would suggest, but it's also just kind of a grumpiness measure.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting. I mean, this is not a poll that is telling us that like voters are, you know, fat and happy in Seattle right now.
I guess I'm saying there's never been a poll like that. I don't think that there has ever been a poll in the history of Seattle. I'm calling it here. Okay. That, you know, that people have said that a majority of people have said that things are going the right direction. They trust the city council. They think that all the policies that those bureaucrats at City Hall are adopting are good, and they just love paying taxes and wish they could pay more of them, which is another question in this poll. People hate taxes.
I don't know about your entire list, but I can tell you now, admittedly, you do have to go back to the pre-COVID era to find this kind of polling, but there was polling where the city council had approval ratings, you know, that were in the, you know, 50% range, and where there was definitely a much more optimistic right track kind of feeling in the city of Seattle that we used to see in polling. So we've been in this kind of state of malaise for a few years now where the wrong track numbers are still pretty bad. They eased a little bit in this poll. You know, there's some other indications that people are they seem a little less concerned about homelessness, maybe a little less or kind of static on crime. But yeah.
And yet homelessness has gotten, I mean, it continued to get worse.
Yeah, but affordability seems to have risen as an issue as those have maybe are a little less front and center, no matter what the state of the actual condition of homelessness is.
I will say that there's like sort of there's a closed circle element of asking about the city council, because, I mean, the example you gave, David, that I trust the city council to reform the police department. The city council, I mean, they can adopt laws. They can propose laws. They can certainly do all of that. But the fact is, you know, on that particular question, you know, the public doesn't generally know, I think, that the city council does not control the police department. There's no question in here about I trust the mayor to reform the police department, when in fact, the police department is responsible to the mayor, not the city council. So, you know, I just think, what is the point of asking questions like this? And this is just, this is not a knock on the chamber particularly. It's all these polls, you know, people blame the city council for everything, including tons of stuff they have no control over. City council passed a police reform ordinance in 2017, and it was undone by contract between the mayor's labor negotiators and the police union. City council cannot on its own reform the police department. So that's just an example of a question where I think that it's trading in sort of voters' lack of detailed knowledge to say, oh, look, that it's, everybody hates the city council. The city council is so bad. They, you know, can't even be trusted to change the culture at the Seattle Police Department. Well, they don't have any power over that, really. So anyway, I know I sound grouchy, and I do tend to get grouchy about polls because I think they tell us a lot less than we pretend that they do when they ask sort of misleading questions like that.
You know, I don't know that much about polls. I've talked to Stuart Elway, for what it's worth, about these polls to see what he thinks. He tends to think they're pretty well done, that they're consistent with his own polling for Crosscut, which is now called PBS or something like that. But I wish, Sandeep, that we were sometimes like talking about a different poll. It's this poll every time. The chamber presumably gets to decide what the focus is here. And there aren't that many polls happening. And so I don't know how much play the media or even Seattle Nice should be giving this poll as opposed to others. You know, where we see a bunch of stuff about taxes here. The voters don't trust the government to spend their taxes effectively, and they don't really want taxes to go up. I'm assuming they mean, though, their taxes, because we don't have a question here that says, do you support raising taxes on the big businesses that support the Chamber of Commerce to help address Seattle's looming budget gap? There's no question in here like that. And so less about methodology, but just more about the absence and the relentlessness of this poll. You know, it's not that it's one-sided in terms of it being poorly designed or whatever, but isn't it in some ways one-sided in terms of, you know, it's a chamber poll that reflects chamber priorities one way or the other. And it gives us a reliable sense of where the public's moving on the chamber's questions, but it's not asking the questions that every liberal from FDR to Shama Sawant would have, which is, you know, what about tax Amazon?
Sure. I mean, I think I agree with you to some extent. I mean, it's definitely the chamber, and some of the framing of the questions that they're asking here, I think are definitely coming from a kind of, you know, business community perspective of how they're framing the question or the issues. And I think you're right that they don't ask, you know, a straight up question about, you know, do you support higher taxes on corporations, right? I mean, that's something where we've seen polling in the past that shows that, you know, substantial majorities of Seattle residents, when you ask them a question like that, say yes. They do support higher taxes on corporations, right?
Not just that, they support higher taxes on themselves because they keep voting for them.
Well, yeah, I mean,
actions speak louder than the response to a pollster's question, I think, on taxes.
Yeah, this is where I think probably the business community may be the most out of step with your kind of median Seattle progressive voter is probably on questions of taxes, right? I think where they're probably much more aligned than the left is are in questions of things like encampments or policing. I think you should take every kind of poll like this with a grain of salt and kind of look at the framing of the questions. I think, for instance, on the budget stuff, sort of way the questions were framed here is like, should we look at cutting sort of non-critical services, or should we raise taxes to, you know, maintain spending levels?
I was just about to bring up that
right.
question.
I do think it's fair to call out that question a little bit. I mean, I think probably the way I would ask that question and would be very interested to see the result of is, would you accept some cuts, maybe significant, to basic services so that we can balance the budget, or would you support raising tax, right? That might be a more neutral way of kind of framing the problem, right?
Not just that, but here's the way the question is actually framed. It's not just framed as cutting non-critical things. It's saying there is an option where the city could, quote, work to offset the deficit by prioritizing government basics, supporting our city's most vulnerable residents, and reducing non-critical spending before considering tax increases. The fact is that if there are cuts, it's going to be to government basics and supporting our city's most vulnerable residents, in part because cutting police, which is, you know, the biggest chunk of the budget, is always off the table. contrasting that with the city should maintain the spending levels and programs in place today and raise new taxes to cover this estimated $230 million deficit. Well, no wonder raise taxes to address the deficit only got 23% of the vote. I mean, this is, you know, this is chamber marketing material that they're going to use later when arguing against future tax increases. And I think we should recognize that. But when I see a question like that, I mean, I think I might have taken this poll. I get a lot of polls. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say, I guess the city should maintain spending levels and programs in place today and raise new taxes. Like, if those are my options. But it's, you know, yeah, it's kind of a false option designed to produce, you know, a certain set of numbers.
Yeah, I mean, on that one, look, I think voters in Seattle are more divided on questions of taxation probably than this poll shows. Almost certainly. And there's other polling that we've seen in the past that indicates that. You know, I do think the way this question got framed, you can kind of raise your eyebrows at. That said, there's a lot of useful information in here. And I think we ignore the kind of top line findings, or others ignore the top line findings of you know, this index poll, which happens every 6 months, and they put it out publicly, and they put out the crosstabs, and it's done by a very, very reputable polling firm here in Seattle, who I often work with and use on polling that I do, and so you know, there's some pretty clear takeaways from this poll. And like I said, one of the biggest ones for me is that the kind of sense of how people are feeling about the city and what issues are really concerning to them are pretty much the same as they were last fall. Affordability is a little higher, but you know, in the mix, it's gone up from being a kind of 15% of voters citing it as a concern to now 26% of voters over the last few years. So that is a significant jump. But basically, it's homelessness, it's crime, it's affordability. Those are the top issues. They were the top issues in the last election. They're the top issues now.
Do we need a poll to tell us that?
I mean, I would say there are some former candidates on Substack who might need a poll to tell them that. Yeah. Because when I read their blog posts, you know, it seems as if they maybe don't think that those issues are important to voters. They think it's all about messaging and poor media coverage and everything else. They don't seem to think.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. I think those things are actually very much intertwined. I don't think people just have opinions in a vacuum. And I think that pretending that they do is absurd and insulting to people, because of course people form their opinions based on information that they receive. And if the media is obsessed with conflating homelessness and crime, for example, people are going to be more likely to conflate homelessness and crime. You just can't pretend that, you know, that there is no outside input into this equation.
Well, Erica, I know that we had questions last week about transportation planning here in the city of Seattle, and there's even some stuff in this poll about it, right? So I wonder if you can take us there.
Yeah, there's a question in here about the sort of concept of back to basics budgeting. And there's a few questions about that. And one is about transportation. And the question is, should the city of Seattle either focus on funding the basics, like filling potholes, maintaining parks, and addressing public safety, or should the city focus on bold initiatives like building more bike lanes and trails, redesigning streets to calm traffic, and installing street amenities like trees and benches? And when you ask it that way, people are much more likely to say that they want to go back to the basics. Now, my question is, what is the difference, first of all, between maintaining parks and adding trees and benches, number one? I mean, I guess, you know, it's in one question, it's on the streets. But, you know, these are very kind of specifically and weirdly chosen amenities. And number two, I mean, the idea that bridge maintenance, filling potholes and paving streets are more important than calming traffic is, you know, I think really out of line with what a lot of people in the city want, which is safer streets where people aren't getting killed all the time. To bring it to the transportation levy, the analysis has been done, you know, sort of adjusting the transportation levy that the mayor proposed last week for, you know, compared to the Move Seattle levy. The proposal is very, very car-centric. It is very focused on, you know, quote-unquote, maintaining the infrastructure that we have. So there's a lot in there for bridge maintenance. There's a lot for paving streets. And there's a lot for, you know, just these kind of auto-oriented things. And I think that when you look at what voters say about street safety, and just the kind of priority that the city itself has made on Vision Zero. The timeline for Vision Zero, which is zero deaths and serious injuries due to traffic collisions, is within the life of the levy. And the levy itself really pulls back on that. It reduces funding, inflation adjusted, for pedestrians. It reduces funding for transit. Voters approved a levy that was much more ambitious on those fronts in 2015. And we've seen traffic fatalities continue to increase and serious injuries continue to increase. And so I think if you would frame this a different way and put it, you know, in the context of, you know, one of the basics being people not being killed on our streets, I think people probably would support that. So again, I mean, I think it's all in the way you ask the question. I think that question was designed to support a sort of timid, auto-oriented transportation levy that's a lot smaller than it could be and still succeed.
Well, I'll just share a little, I guess I'll call it sort of informed gossip here on that question, because I know we were talking about the size of the transportation levy, and I was saying I was surprised by, you know, that they came in at a kind of lower figure than I expected when we were talking about it last week. I think word on the street is this levy package is not completely cooked yet. And we will see, I think we will see it get bigger, somewhat bigger, as it goes through the process. And I think we will see some ads get made. Now, whether that makes it less car-centric or not, I don't know. I do know the advocates kind of feel like does tilt too much in that direction. Though I'd also say, you know, the advocates sort of gave short shrift to like bridge maintenance, and they put a couple hundred million dollars in this levy to kind of maintain Seattle's bridges that really are in need of significant work and repair. And so I'm quite happy to see that if that's what we're talking about, back to basics. So that's good. But nonetheless, like at least the word I'm hearing is that I do think we'll see some ads and some changes to this, maybe even from the seventh floor. And then we'll see what the second floor, the council does with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is true. I think that happened with the housing levy, too. I think it was originally going to be, you know, $800 million came in at 930. I could be getting those numbers a little off, but
it was 970 at the end, 970.
Okay, yeah. But I think that, I mean, that is a fairly incremental change. I mean, yes, it makes a difference. But if we're looking at something like that level of increase, the mayor's office did polling that said that $1.7 billion would pass, but just not as strongly as $1.3. I know that there are some advocates calling for $3 billion. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But I mean, it just kind of shows the gap between what the sort of pedestrian and safety advocates and disability rights advocates are saying that, you know, is necessary and what the mayor's proposing. And, you know, the number that they keep citing is, and I mean, it's just indisputable, simple math, is that on the timeline set out in this levy of 250 new blocks of sidewalks in 8 years, it's going to take between 400 and 500 years to complete sidewalks on all 11,000 blocks in the city that do not have sidewalks right now. And that is a staggering number. Yeah. And we definitely could do better on that front.
I mean, sidewalks are freaking expensive. like, I mean, this.
They are.
Right. I mean, I did the last levy campaign.
So are bridges.
Right,
so are
right,
roads. Right. I mean, we can't apply a different standard to sidewalks than we do to these car projects.
I mean, I did that campaign, right? And we had the same complaints, like there's not enough sidewalk. But you know, it's expensive to build sidewalks, and there's an opportunity. There's a trade-off, right, if you put more money over here.
Just to nitpick on that a little bit, it's not just sidewalks. They're also talking about sidewalk, you know, alternatives, which are, you know, not things that have curbs and look like traditional sidewalks. It's just paving in the right-of-way. And sometimes it's, you know, carving out space in the street itself for people. And so, you know, the city has actually figured out ways around that to make those less expensive. And we're still looking at this incredibly slow timeline. I quote a person, a speaker at a press conference at City Hall this week in my story about this week. You know, that means that people with disabilities, you know, are, you know, essentially being told that it's going to be hundreds of years before they can really access the city. And so it's not just, sidewalks are expensive. It's, you know, who are we prioritizing? We're saying 72 hours for potholes, which is an element of this plan. And we're saying 500 years for sidewalks. And I know I sound like I'm on my soapbox right now, but it really is a contrast in the plan. And if you look at just 250 blocks of sidewalks over 8 years in isolation, that is a tiny amount of the city. You know, whether or not you care about people with disabilities being able to leave their homes and, you know, kids being able to ride their bikes, you can look at that number and see that it's really pitiful.
north of 85th, man, north of 85th, they should secede from Seattle. Like, they got annexed back in the 40s and 50s, right? The big promise was they were going to get sidewalks. That was the reason we annexed from 85th to 145th, and hasn't happened, man. Maybe it's time for a North Seattle secession movement, right? Free Ballard, free North Seattle. Yeah.
I think Ballard's doing a little more okay than District 5.
Give us our sidewalks or we're leaving.
That's a great place to end. That's it for another edition of Seattle Nice. He's Sandeep Kashyap. She's Erica C. Barnett. I'm David Hyde. Our editor is Quinn Waller. And we've got some live events coming this year. More about that next week, but there's one coming up next month. So if you have a neighborhood association or some other group and you want to invite us, maybe like, what do you think? Weddings, bar mitzvahs?
Yeah. We Queen Anne Neighborhood Association.
Yeah. Like, let us know.
Raves.
We may be available. Your raves. Thanks to everybody who's supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/SeattleNice. I'm looking here, 46 new members just this year, including Asia, Clay, Robbie, DB, Ben, Claire, Jenny, Ben, Ross, Isaac, Olivia. So we've had a bunch of new numbers. Thanks for everybody who's been signing up. And to everybody else, thank you so much for listening.